in October, I would like our church to concentrate their prayer, their study, and their meditation on the kingdom of God and on money. And think about what the Lord says about money, but mostly on the kingdom of God. So I want us to concentrate on the kingdom of God as a church. Can we do that? Yes. And help me and send an email to me or text something if there is something that inspires you about the kingdom of God and what the Lord is doing in your life. So today, I want to talk about, are we living for a paycheck or are we living for eternity? What does the Bible say about money? What does the Bible say about eternity? And we want to look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and then look for example, things that we can learn from Him. So the sermon today is Heaven in Homelessness. And the scripture is from one of his first sermon when he started public ministry. And the sermon, one of the greatest sermon that we have read, the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 on laying up our treasures in heaven. So let me read the scripture for you. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust and thieves do not come in to break in and steal or destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. If you have your Bible, or you can follow in the app, our church app, there is a sermon note there. And you can follow along. That is very handy. I strongly suggest if you have a smartphone to download our church app and you can follow along. So there are three reasons why I would like to suggest that why we should invest in heaven. The first reason is that Jesus came from heaven. John 6:38. The second reason is when he came here, Jesus talked about and taught on heaven. Luke 4:43. And the third reason is he came, he talked, spoke about heaven, and then he went back to heaven. John 16:28, Acts 1:9. I think this is a strong reason why I suggest that you invest in the kingdom of God, that you live for eternity. When I was young, I had a friend, very close, and he's very careful about his money. I mean, he hardly spent on money. So in our circle of friends, we knew him as somebody that hold on tight to his money, right? And me, I was kind of generous to a fault, and not in a good way, but generous to show off and to teach him a lesson. So I'll be generous to make him feel like you're so stingy, you know. So it wasn't a good thing, right? But one day, see, what he does is when he gets his money, he digs the ground and then he will put it in a can and he will cover it up. I didn't know where he hides his money. But on that day, I went to his room and under his bed, he ducked under his bed, and there was this can in there, and there's money. I can see the money. So he was going to go and treat me for a meal. He opened the can, he took it out, and when he was trying to take out the money, you know what happened? That money was like a snowflake. I think the mold and the moisture had turned the money into like, so he picked up and it was like a snowflake. And I started laughing. You know, I was so happy. Yes, stingy fellow, you know. Then he looked at me and he was so sad and wiped away my smile. I had to take him out and pay for a meal, you know. Yeah. But I remember, like, you were hiding your money. And in the end, it was nothing. He couldn't use it. He couldn't use it. And that, when I was preparing this sermon, it came to me, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. It's a play of word. Do not treasure. See? It's just a play of words on say, do not treasure treasures. What is it that we have to treasure? Some of us are very afraid and anxious. What happened today if our paycheck stops? Right now, if we all get the news that your paycheck is going to stop today, how would you react to that? How would you respond to that? What will you do? Or if somebody come and say, I'm going to give you paycheck for life today, right? I'm thinking that may alleviate some of our fears and anxieties. But I can assure you, even if you have a paycheck for life, it will not alleviate your worry. You will still worry. And so Jesus talked about worry and money. Did you know that roughly 2,350 times money is mentioned in the Bible? And Jesus talked about money more than hell and heaven. Okay? And Jesus talked about money more than faith and prayer. Right? In fact, 11 parables were about money. The only subject Jesus taught more about money is the kingdom of God. So, money and the kingdom of God seems to be pretty important to me. We want to talk about money and the kingdom of God this morning. So I say again, investing your money in the kingdom of God is a smart thing to do. It's a very smart thing to do. Because sometimes when we live for paycheck, you know, living for a paycheck is often for immediate gratification and pleasure, and we lose sight of our eternity. You're just concentrating on living for the moment, not knowing where you're going, what's the purpose of your life, what you do, what, why are you doing these things? Why are you buying stuff? Where is your money going? I want to say this morning that if you go and look at your bank statement and how you have spent this month or this year so far, it will tell how well your heart is. Your bank account statement is a good identification of who you are. It's good to look at your bank statements. Because you may say, oh, I love the Lord. I love the kingdom of God. I love the poor. I like to help people. You look at the bank statement. Do you love the poor? I love the poor. We spend $1,000 on TV, new TV, you know, new smartphone. The poor still hungry and homeless. How we spend the money talks about who we are, because our mind is on those things. So let's look at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three examples from Jesus on how to live for eternity. So Jesus experienced homelessness, yet experienced heaven on earth. Jesus was God. He was in the form of God. But he did not consider himself to be equal with God. So he came from heaven. He was homeless. He was literally homeless. Now, even though Jesus was homeless, was he depressed? Was he worried? You know, was he out of control that his life was messy? Did he complain about leaving heaven? Did you hear any complaint about Jesus not liking this world and the food? The accommodation, we didn't read anything about those things. In his homelessness, as a homeless person, he did not forget heaven. In fact, this homeless man talked about the kingdom of God. This homeless man lifted up what the kingdom of God is like. In this homeless man, in his homelessness, heaven was still there. He experienced heaven in his homelessness. What about you and I? If we were homeless today, would we experience heaven in our life? If your paycheck stops today, would it be about the kingdom of God? How many of you have experienced homelessness? Yes, I saw some hand. I was homeless, not like people homeless in Santa Clara and San Jose. By the way, Santa Clara, San Jose is the fifth, it comes in the fifth city in the nation with homelessness. Okay? We are fifth ranked in this nation on homelessness. Santa Clara and San Jose has more homeless people than San Francisco. We are just beneath New York City. There's a lot of things to do here. How can we preach the kingdom of God in this city? Because we are here placed by God in this city to talk about the kingdom of God. The first time I experienced homelessness is when God called me out to serve him full time. I take it as a test. Because so far I was, as I mentioned to you many times, I was training and learning and prepared to be a bureaucrat. So the year that I said, I'm going to serve you full time, what happened? I was homeless for 1 year. It doesn't mean I didn't have a home, okay? But I was homeless. I had no apartment or no place that I call on my own that I was paying money or mortgaging. I was sleeping place to place, but from in different places. But my godfather was there, who said, "This, you can always come and sleep in this place." So even though I was homeless, do you know where I was living? I was living in the most richest zip code in New Delhi. I was experiencing homeless, but God's giving me all the things. The most expensive pieces of property to buy in Delhi, that's where I was living, in my homelessness. And I met my wife during that time. She saw my homelessness, and she didn't fall in love me for my fall in love with me for my wealth. You know, it's for my looks. Can't deny that, right? I'm just sorry for being boasting, but I mean, look at my good looks. Oh, ha ha ha. And a little bit of homelessness when we came to Santa Clara. People ask us, "So Pastor, do you know it's very hard to get a house in Santa Clara?" Yeah, we know. And we experienced homelessness when we came here. Not that we were without a place to live, but we stayed with Jerry and Sharon for 40, 45 days. We were a homeless pastor in Santa Clara. But in our homelessness, we experienced generosity, love, and a piece of heaven in a nice home where there was a swimming pool, orange tree, lemon. You see, that if we are focused on the Lord, because I remember when the search committee was asking, "How are you going to live here?" I say, "If God calls us here, he will provide for us." I said that line. I remember I deeply trust in the Lord to provide for us. So, Jesus experienced homelessness at his birth. There was no inn. There was no place in the inn. Right after his birth, he has to flee the country and go to a foreign land and live as a foreigner. That's another huge traumatic experience here. Joseph and Mary has to flee because Herod wanted to kill every child boy. And they have to flee. Did you know that? Then they came back in his teenage life. He has a home. He lived with Joseph and Mary and his brothers. and sister. But when he started this adult ministry, he was homeless again. He was homeless when he was ministering. But did we talk about his homelessness? When we talk about Jesus, do we talk about, oh, he must have a hard life because he was a homeless man? Do we talk about Jesus in that way? No, we talked about the signs and wonders and the miracles and the deep teaching that comes with him. We talk about these things. Why? Because he lived heaven and he lifted up the kingdom of God. Even in his homelessness, we don't talk about his situation, how pathetic he might have been, how hard it might have been. We talk about the power, the promise, the overcoming triumphant entry, and the sacrifices that he made. This is one thing we can learn from our Lord Jesus Christ, that we invest in the kingdom of God. And if we invest in the kingdom of God, then we can influence powerful things in people's life. Homelessness is not a hindrance for the power of God. In fact, it may work for the kingdom of God to show forth the power of God. It's where we're looking at, where we're focusing our life. So do not lay up treasures where moth and rust and thief will come and steal and destroy. Are you investing in the kingdom of God? Or are you loving your treasure? That you treasure your treasures. That the kingdom of God is not daily in your life. You're not thinking about it. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus invested his adult life in the kingdom of God. And Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God through his life and teaching. I mean, Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Our Lord God was a homeless man. But he was not worried about what he have or what he had on this earth. He was always thinking about the will of God and the Father of God in heaven, because it was about the kingdom of God. Let your circumstances do not hinder you to shine for the kingdom of God. Be about the kingdom of God. Invest in the kingdom of God and see what God will do for you. Just invest in the kingdom of God. Invest on eternity and see what God will do for you. Don't live for the moment. If you live for a paycheck, anxiety, worries, jealousy, envy, these things will come. It will rob your peace. It will destroy your peace. It will destroy your life, because you're in pursuit of things that are insatiable. You will never be satisfied how much you make, how much you earn in your life if you're living for a paycheck. But if you're living for the kingdom of God for eternity, you may not have much in your life. You may not have like the neighbor have. You may not drive the same car they do. You may not live in the house that they live. But you know, you will have one. What will you have? You will have the kingdom of God. Because Christ said, "Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you." I want the kingdom that is within us to shine for today. Let us be kingdom men and kingdom women. Let us invest in the kingdom of God. Let other people come to the kingdom of God. We position people to enter into the kingdom of God. There are so many people that are lost. They don't know where to go. There are so many doors. The moment they open their eyes and walk out of their house, there are so many doors to choose for. Let us be kingdom men and women that stand by the door and say, "Come this way. This way leads to life. This is the way to the kingdom of God." invest our time in those things. You know, may where moth and rust destroy. You know, this is where the devil comes to take away everything that we own. The other thing is that Jesus engaged with the homeless to engage people about heaven. This is beautiful for me. He says, do not lay up your treasures on earth, right? Where moth and rust and thieves and robbers come to steal and destroy. Now he is engaging with the homeless to tell the power of the kingdom of God over the enemy, over the thief who can kill, destroy, and steal. It's a wonderful story how he lay up treasures for eternity. How is he doing? So, as he was going, there he met a man that dwells with by the tomb, in the tomb. And he had unclean spirit. This man was homeless. Where does he live? By the tomb. In the tomb, in the cemetery. And he had unclean spirit. And Jesus went and engaged with him. We know the story down the line. He asked the demons to leave, and the demons went into the swine, and the swine fell off the... They ran a while amok and fell off the cliff. And he was healed, and he said, Master, I want to come with you. I want to come with you. He said, no, no, no. You know, you go home and tell what I have done for you. He was engaging the homeless to talk about heaven. Even though he was homeless, he understood homelessness. And then there is a man who is homeless, and he is laying treasure for him for eternity. And he went and engaged with him to point other people that are watching him toward heaven. What are the things that you are doing in your life that are pointing other people to look to the kingdom of God? Is your life full of power? Not saying we can move every mountains in our life, that we're going to do signs and miracles in our life, but there's certainly power that we're connected to God, that people can say, yeah, this is what they're doing, is pointing us to the kingdom of God. Last week, my wife received an email from City Team, one of the ladies there, one of the leader. And by the way, the City Team leader for the women is here. Honili is here, right? Yes, yes. We welcome her. Yeah. So what they were saying is, oh, your church are so associated with the men at City Team, but you guys haven't done much with the women. And that is not fair. And I say, yeah, that's not fair, you know. And so we got to do something. So they linked up with my wife to say, let's do something for the women at the church. And we're going to do something with the women at the church, and Margaret will share more, and Honili and others, and they will share more on how we're going to link up with the women. But the women have been through a lot. They must have gone through addiction, homelessness, things that we cannot share. They must be in that place as a safe place. They don't want their spouse or significant others in their life who have harmed them, and they're at risk, rescued them from child trafficking, prostitution. We don't know, but a lot of people that have gone through traumatic things in their lives are there. And they're going to tell a story how the kingdom of God has come upon them and delivered them from where they are. And what do we want to do? We want to engage with them so we can engage other people about the kingdom of God. See? That's engaging. Then your heart is there, your treasure will be there. If you want to really empower these women and give them life skills to succeed, to live day after day, one day after day, and slowly integrate them into society that they can live a normal life, then prayer is not enough, and standing at the door is not enough, and say, be fed, be well, now go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not going to work. We got to engage with them with our resources. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. If your heart is with empowerment, your treasure will be with the empowerment. If your heart is with students, then your treasure will be there. We made a little link with the Central Elementary School and welcomed them in the community. And my wife organized five of us yesterday, along with Helena and Marguerite and Jerry and others. And we went and worked for the Central Elementary School to say, welcome to the community. We take our tools and pickles and shovels and work to create a garden for the kids to plant flowers and vegetables. We are engaging in the community. Right? And if our church is engaging in the community, then our budget should show that. Because where our treasure is, there our heart is. We say, we're going to take care of the poor in this city. Show me the budget. I'm no Jerry Maguire, but show me the money, right? Jesus engaged with the homeless man. Jesus engaged with the homeless leper and had compassion on them. Who was this leper? It was Lazarus. Not Lazarus, I mean the homeless leper who came to Jesus Christ to be cleansed. He was homeless. And he had compassion on them, released him. Jesus healed the sick and drove out demons to demonstrate the kingdom of God has come upon them. He said in Matthew, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Do you know that the kingdom of God is here already? Not in full, but partially, the kingdom of God is here already. We will experience the kingdom of God in fullness when Christ returns in his power. But he is here already. He is here already. The kingdom of God is here already. We want to experience that partial kingdom that is here already. The victory that Christ has won for us. Jesus embraced homelessness to point to heaven. You know, Jesus did not come into this world to earn a paycheck from God. He came to pay off our debts. But if you're living for a paycheck, then you're not in restoration, reconciliation ministry, because living for a paycheck will consume all your time and energy. But this homeless man did not expect a paycheck from God. But he was here to pay off our debts. How could a homeless man do that? Because he was about the kingdom of God. He knew that the Heavenly Father who created everything has every means and resources to be able to do that. If you're feeling sitting here this morning, I don't have much in my life. I'm struggling with the means in my life. I want you to look at the power of God. Not on your circumstance. Look in the power of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and see what God will do through your life. You know about our family. This church knows about our family. You know how we get a house here in Santa Clara. You know how God has provided for us. I don't have to say a lot to tell how God has worked in our life. How God has worked with the board and make these things happen for us to come and stay in Santa Clara. And people are thinking, where does this guy get all this money? You know? Even though, oh, I'm so glad you have a house, but where did he get the money? I mean, he's a pastor. He doesn't make a lot of money. He can't own a house. You know, I want to yell and say, God provided for us, you know? He did. And we can tell about God's power to other people, how he works in our life. For me, I understand God's calling to us in Santa Clara, being able to live here and to serve here and minister with all of you. The purpose is to talk about the greatness of God. That God's doing wonderful things among us in this church. Go home to your friends and tell them what a great thing the Lord has done for you. And how he has compassion on you. The other thing is that Jesus educated homelessness to educate about heaven. See, lay up yourself treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So did you know that Jesus spoke about Lazarus, the homeless beggar, to point to heaven? And then he spoke about the rich man to highlight on the comfort of heaven and the torment of hell. I'll end with this story on laying up the treasure in heaven and on earth. This rich man was laying up treasure on earth. And actually, Lazarus used to beg at his gate. It was said in some gospel that the dogs will come and lick on his sore. And this rich man go out every day and see Lazarus lying there, homeless man, the beggar at the gate, and see him every day. He had so many evil things that have happened in his life. But the time came when they both died and they went to the presence of God. And where was Lazarus? He was at the bosom of Abraham, receiving the comfort of God. And where was the rich man? He was in Hades, in torment. He was so thirsty, so miserable, and said, just a drop from the finger of Lazarus, can I have a water in my mouth? And Abraham has to say, while on earth you received your share, he received his share. You were storing up treasure on earth, and Lazarus was laying up treasures in heaven. Now he's receiving the comfort of God and the kingdom of God, and you're receiving the torment of hell, the torment of Hades. He's educating us not to frighten us about hell. He's educating us with the story of Lazarus and the rich man to talk about the comfort of heaven. So, are you investing in the comfort of heaven for tomorrow, for eternity, or are you investing in the comfort of now and today for your life? Right? So if we are investing on today and the moment, laying up treasures for today, we may end up like the rich man, looking up to Lazarus and say, share me some water. I plead with you. The water is freely offered to you today. It's eternal water that is in Christ Jesus, that Christ offered to the Samaritan woman by the well. And he said, if you drink this, you will never thirst again. And she did. She invested in eternity. Kingdom and money. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Jesus spoke, it is not wealth, influences, or poverty, but repentance is needed to enter the kingdom of God. He said, follow me. We cannot go wrong following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We cannot go wrong following the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like us to trust in his promises that he will provide for us, he will take care of us, and he will lead us.